from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, we'll take up two competing ballot initiatives designed to bring in more revenue via taxes to help support education in cash-strapped California. Both will appear on the November 6th ballot, and in the first half hour, we'll talk about Proposition 30, a sales and income tax increase initiative initiated as a constitutional amendment and put forward by Governor Jerry Brown. Then it's on to a debate in our second half over Prop 38, put forward on the ballot by multimillionaire civil rights attorney Molly Munger to help provide greater funding for K through 12. Join us and join in on Forum next after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. With Proposition 30, Governor Jerry Brown is asking California voters to back an increase in sales and income taxes to support education and public safety. This year's state budget depends on the money from this proposition. Supporters say that well-off Californians should give more to sustain public schools, but critics say the measure is a large tax increase which would hurt the state's economy and business climate. And backers of a rival tax initiative, Proposition 38, which we will focus on in our second segment of this morning's opening forum hour, say Proposition 30 doesn't guarantee new money for education beyond existing general fund spending. Our guests for this half-hour segment include Jonathan Kupal, who is president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association and an opponent of Prop 30. He joins us from Sacramento. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Good to have you aboard. We also have John Mockler with us, education policy consultant, former executive director of the California State Board of Education and former interim California Secretary of Education, who supports Prop 30 and also joins us from the state capitol. Welcome, John Mockler.
Thank you.
Thank you. And let me begin with you, John Mockler, because it's our tradition to begin with those who are speaking in favor of the proposition. By way of introduction, I should say, is an increase in taxes of earnings over $250,000 over 7 years and a sales tax of a quarter of a cent for 4 years, essentially to fund schools. And we're talking about avoiding the $6 billion in school cuts. What else does this proposition provide? And maybe you can sort of fill in some of the details for us.
Well, the proposition provides that every dime money collected under these new taxes goes to K-12 schools, 89% on a per-student basis, and community colleges. 11% of the money goes to community colleges on a per-student basis. That's the traditional split among those two groups under Prop 98. The initiative does one other thing that's, I think, important, and that is it provides stability for realignment funding to local government so that they can take care of public safety and handle local public safety needs.
Well, the rival initiative that Molly Munger's put forward, which I said we're going to talk about in our second half hour, talks about going straight to schools, full local control and so forth.
Well, that's not true.
Tell us why.
Well, because the money is collected in Sacramento. Both Prop 30 and 38 money is sent to Sacramento and collected. In both initiatives, the money goes directly to schools. Prop 30 goes to schools on a flat per student basis to every school district in California and every community college district. And Prop 38 provides the money in four separate categorical aid programs. And it only funds K-12 schools. It does not fund community colleges.
You were a supporter of 38, though, weren't you?
No, I was never a supporter. I was an advisor to the people who developed it, and when I told them that I would do that, but if the governor had a credible alternative, that I thought that they should stand aside and let the governor have his tax thing. He did produce a credible alternative, actually better than Prop 38, and therefore, I said I can't support a competitive measure.
And what does Prop 30 do for public safety?
Well, the state of California made, I think, a very good, wise policy decision by shifting resources, a little over almost $5.5 billion, from the state to locals, along with duties regarding public safety. Local government's concerned that that shift would not be, that the legislature and the governor might might not do that in the future. They wanted some certainty. Prop 30 guarantees in the Constitution that those revenues will follow those duties and not be shorted.
John Mockler with us from Sacramento, education policy consultant and former executive director of the California State Board of Ed in the Davis administration. He's a spokesperson for Yes on 30. I want to hear from Jonathan Kupal, but I need to ask you, John Mockler, some are saying that millions have been spent by the Yes on 30 campaign that might have been better spent if they'd gone into, the school coffers.
Public schools have 6 million kids. We are one of the lowest spending states in the nation, 47th if you listen to Ed Week, 42nd if you listen to others. The millions of dollars spent on these campaigns can be spent in a lot of ways, but we're talking about $1 billion in cuts for K-12 schools. So you can't compare a...
You don't compare millions to billions.
Yes.
But what happens if this doesn't pass, if Prop 30 goes down?
If this doesn't pass for K-12 schools, they lose $1.4 billion out of the 11-12 budget year. That is to say the Prop 98 guarantee goes down by that much. In 2012-13, they lose $5.5 billion, and those reductions continue throughout the 7 years that this tax would provide. So it's very clear that the loss of this initiative would devastate our public schools, which have already suffered tens of billions of dollars of cuts over the last 4 years.
Let me go to Jonathan Kupal, who again is president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association and a spokesperson for No on 30 and consistently opposed, I think it's safe to say, Jonathan Kupal, to tax raises. And you see this as a tax raise for California now being highest state in the United States as far as sales taxes and second highest in income taxes. So on that, on those points alone, you would be adverse to it. But what about the argument that this is saving the schools from devastation?
I think people need to know that this is not a tax increase for schools. This is a general fund tax increase. I would challenge anyone to look at the four corners of the text of Proposition 30 and look to see where the trigger cuts are. Well, they're not there. The trigger cuts are in the budget. The budget is a creation of the governor and the legislature, and what they giveth, they can taketh away. And we just saw this last year when there were $2.5 billion for the trigger cuts, that when revenue was not forthcoming, they rescinded the trigger cuts. And when Proposition 30 goes down in November, I can guarantee you, given the political strength of the California Teachers Association, they will immediately come back to Sacramento and restore the trigger cuts, because, again, the trigger cuts are not in Proposition 30. So I think the intellectually honest question is, and it's a legitimate question, is do Californians want another general fund tax increase? And that's basically what this is. We're already one of the highest tax states in America. We're already competing against states that have the highest marginal income tax rate of zero, which would include Florida, Nevada, Texas, certainly. And the top marginal rate in California would be 13.3%. That is getting to a level where we're going to drive even more of our best entrepreneurs and businesses out of the state of California. So we're looking at the overall economic health of the state of California and the fact that there are no reforms tied to this particular measure. This is one of the reasons, Michael, I think Californians have rejected the last eight statewide tax increase proposals. It's not because they're anti-government or anti-tax. I think they're very much pro-government. But right now, Californians perceive correctly that we are not getting value for our dollar. And I think that is what really upsets not just Republicans, but declined the states and Democrats as well.
Well, you're also upset that there's no corporate tax hike involved in this proposition. And I think it's safe to say you're steamed about the money that was spent for a bullet train and for staff raises and the $54 million that seemed to appear from the parks money.
Well, I think that's part of the legitimate debate, and that is, given the fact that this is a general tax increase, can we say with any degree of certainty that the spending priorities of the California legislature and the governor have been good priorities? And I think Exhibit A there, of course, is the high-speed rail. The debt service on high-speed rail, which of course was sold to us as a $33 billion program, and it's now well north of $100 billion. The debt service on that alone is $300 billion, which more than covers the proposed cuts to the University of California. So I think again, it's not just the taxpayer advocates like our organization. I think people look at this very seriously and say, you know, the legislature is not prioritizing spending in the way they should. And I think that's one of the reasons just a couple of years ago, with the overwhelming rejection of Proposition 1A by a 64-36 margin involving two of the same taxes we're talking about here, an increase in the income tax and an increase in the sales tax. Californians are not anti-government, but they're saying, we are not getting value for our dollar. Show us real pension reform, not fig leaf pension reform. Show us regulatory reform, and show us education reform. As long as we're talking about education, Pepperdine did a study just last year that says that now less than half, 50 cents of every dollar, is actually getting into the classroom. I think we could get consensus among teachers and taxpayers and businesses that more money should actually get in the classroom, but this doesn't get us there, and I think that's the biggest problem.
All right, what I want to do here, since this is only a half-hour segment, is get our listeners involved, and here's an opportunity for you to ask questions about Prop 30. We've got the pro and con side represented, respectively, by John Mockler and Jonathan Kupal, and you may want to weigh in here and join this conversation with your own thoughts and sentiments about Prop 30, Governor Jerry Brown's budget proposition that will be on the November 6th ballot. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your call, so feel free to call us, and the time to call would be now, 866-733-6786, or email us. Forum@kqed.org is the email address, and you can also go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment and post your questions or comments that way. But do feel free, again, to join the program. And have to get, if I could, a succinct response from you, John Mockler, because we want to get our callers involved in this, particularly to the idea that the trigger cuts are in the budget and what you essentially heard from Jonathan Kupal.
Well, Jonathan Kupal is an articulate spokesman for the far right, and I respect that, but he's absolutely wrong on all those things. I mean, he's just wrong. The fact is that every dollar collected under these taxes will go precisely to K-12 schools and community colleges and nowhere else. Nowhere else. That is the constitutional amendment we see. That's also backed up by the Constitution of Proposition 98. So our schools have suffered enough. This money goes directly to schools. Our schools have been performing wonderfully under diverse circumstances, 47th in spending, and better than average on achievement, and in fascinating growth in achievement for all of our students.
And the argument, Jonathan Kupal, that you got everything wrong?
Well, if I'm wrong, then so is the San Francisco Chronicle, the Bee, the LA Times, and the San Jose Mercury News, who said
this. All of whom have endorsed.
All of whom have endorsed, but because they recognize that it is the budget that needs to be salvaged, not education spending, and they did say that the advertisements that said this is an education tax are flatly wrong, and on the other hand, they recognize that the budget, and of course those publications like higher taxes, we understand that, but at least they were honest with respect to whether or not this was a true education tax. And look, John is right. There is a separate account, and the money goes into that account. But you can put 1,000 locks on your front door, and it makes no difference if you've left the back door unlocked, and all the money coming in can be supplanted out the back door, and you know, look, Mike Genest of the former director of finance, LAO, they've all said this frees up money for the general fund. That is the purpose of Prop 30. If people think that's a good idea, then they can vote for it. But there are a lot of us who believe that the California legislature has not earned a general fund tax increase.
And what do you say, we're going to go to our callers here, but just a quick response from you, if I may, John Mockler, to that argument that we're only talking about guarantee for the existing general fund spending.
No, Prop 98 guarantees the basic general fund spending. That's already in the Constitution. This money is on top of that. It is true that this takes pressure off the general fund. Absolutely no question about that, because it funds K-12 schools and community colleges. It takes pressure off the general fund because it solidifies the constitutionality of the shift of law enforcement. So there's a lot of things that are going on, but the fact is the dollars – You want to trace the dollars. The dollars go to K-12 schools and community colleges specifically.
All right, let's hear what our listeners have to say. And, Jerry, we begin with you. Jerry's our first caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to say that I'm not in favor of Proposition 30. Reasons being is I agree with the idea that the monies are a general tax and they aren't all going to go to education. The example that has always, that has happened, at least in my community, is we have a district that spends a lot of money on their own administration at the consequence of the students. And so I just feel that this would exasperate that problem that's already existing within the California school system.
Well, essentially, you've been assuring us of the opposite here, John Mockler, about the general tax not going to education. And let me go to Jonathan Kupal on that. I mean, essentially, we're hearing from John Mockler that there's this is backed by Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, it does create a constitutional fund where these dollars would go, but without a maintenance of effort provision. In other words, and that's why the California School Boards Association said that there's no new money for education. Look, John Mockler is right.
He and challenged you on it. You can't use that.
Of course we can. If that was false and misleading, then they had the opportunity to take that out of the ballot argument, and they made no effort to do so because we quoted right out of their own document. Now they have objected to us using their words against them, but the fact of the matter is the California School Boards Association did say that there's no new money for education. Now, I think they were absolutely right. Now, they upset Jerry Brown when they said that, and they're catching a lot of blowback, but look, at the end of the day, John Mockler is right. A little bit more money would go to K-12 by virtue of Prop 98, which is already in the Constitution, if this passes. But it's also true that if Prop 30 fails, Prop 98 spending on a per pupil basis will go up. It won't go up as high as if Prop 30 passes, but it will continue to go up. So I think what people in California would like is a fair discussion about education reform. Let me give you just one example. Senator Padilla, a Democrat, proposed a bill that would give school districts more flexibility to fire teachers who committed criminal acts on children. And that arose out of the Los Angeles horrific situation. And yet the California Teachers Association opposed that vigorously, and it failed. These are the kinds of things I think voters look at, and they're incensed that our education system is not providing maximum benefit or even close to value for the dollar. And until they see the regulatory reform, education reform, spending reform, then tax reform. I mean, the whole volatility of the tax structure is another topic why people should reject.
It's another topic, and at this point, I'm going to just go to more of our callers and bring them in and hear other voices. Kathy, you're next. Hi.
Hi there. I'm a community college instructor in the South Bay, and one of the things that really concerns me is that while both of the measures give money to K-12 systems, if Prop 30 fails, then the trigger cuts that were set in the state budget this past summer will go into effect. And though, while the Munger Initiative will reimburse the K-12 system, there is nothing in it that will replace the money, the millions and hundreds of millions of dollars that we'll lose in the higher education system. And that means our students will be graduating from high school with no path to a higher education. We're already 40th in the U.S. in the percentage of students going straight into college from high school. And I don't see that getting any better I see that getting massively, massively worse under the Munger Initiative.
All right, Kathy, I thank you for those comments. And I remind listeners we're going to talk about the often characterized as Munger Initiative in our next segment in this hour. I wanted to go through some of the emails that we're receiving, though. Kathy writes, it makes me cry to think about everyone talking about these two measures as competing. Do any of you anti-3038 folks have children in public schools? You know that since Jerry Brown was last governor, we have built one UC campus, 19 prisons. It is clear that we do not fund or support public education or the children who live in the state, and we pay much more in prison costs and social services because of it. And she goes on to write, our marginal tax rate is high thanks to the Howard Jarvis folks in Prop 13. Before Prop 13, property tax expenses were split evenly between corporations and individuals. Now that is 20-80 thanks to the loopholes in Prop 13. It is shameful. If you care about kids, vote yes on 30 and yes on 38 to tell Sacramento we care about kids. They can't vote. Another listener, James, says the cynicism of the governors and Democrats is sickening. The fiscal problem in our state is absurd. Overpayment, not just pensions, pay also of public sector workers, primarily public safety. They don't have the courage to truly confront their union buddies on this and are instead taking it out on our children, trying to claim they don't have enough revenue. I hope the taxpayers see through this nonsense. And Luke says, what happens if both Prop 30 and 38 pass? And it's my understanding that if they both pass, the ones with the higher number, I think, would go into effect. Let's bring in more of our callers, and we'll bring in Eric from San Jose. Good morning.
Hi. First, I wanted to say that as a parent of young kids in the school system, we can't afford any more cuts. We're already parent funding science and music and art. And so this is a big threat from the governor. I don't see how anyone with children wouldn't vote for this because we have no other choice. Second thing was, you guys were talking about trigger cuts, and it didn't make any sense, and I was hoping you could explain.
You want to clarify that from your perspective, John Mockler, the trigger cuts?
Yeah, well, the trigger cuts are very simple. When you add more money, as Prop 30 does, to the public schools, that increases the Prop 98 guarantee. When you take that money away, that is to say Prop 30 does not prevail, then Prop 98 guarantee goes down. So the legislature and the governor cut the budget to the Prop 98 guarantee by whatever the taxes yield. So this idea that somehow you can rescind the trigger cuts if you don't have the revenues is bizarre. There's no place to get the money. So they're in the budget. They're already done. I can guarantee you they will not be changed, period.
Let me get a quick, less than a minute, if you can, summary in terms of your position and begin with the opposition. Jonathan Kupal?
Well, first of all, I think the notion that the trigger cuts can't be rescinded is disproven by what just happened last year when $4 billion of anticipated revenue did not come in. That's when Governor Brown and the legislature agreed to $2.5 billion in trigger cuts last year. But they rescinded all but less than a billion. More than half of were rescinded. So trigger cuts can be rescinded. The reason they're threatening kids is because people like the one caller are very concerned about education, as we all are. I mean, it makes the perfect tool for threat, because they don't threaten high-speed rail. They don't threaten higher pension costs. So I think it's a wonderful political ploy, but it didn't work back in 2009, and we don't think it'll work now. I think, just to conclude, I think, you know, our political leaders right now, they're not keeping track of the money they have. They've awarded pay increases to staff, spent billions on the bullet train to nowhere, and refused to reform wasteful spending like the pension system.
I think that's going to have to hold, Jonathan. Let me get a final statement from John Mockler with seconds left.
Prop 30 is essential for California. It's essential for the public schools of California. It's essential for higher education in California. Without it, we will go from 47th to 51st among the 50 states in the District of Columbia. That is a sad day for California. That's not a threat. That's just how the dollars show up. That's the nature of the revenues.
Well, I thank you both for a spirited and enlightening debate. And as I said, we've got another segment coming up in which we're going to talk specifically and hear a debate on Prop 38. John Mockler, again, is education policy consultant, former executive director of the California State Board of Ed during the Davis administration. Yes on 30. Jonathan Kupal, no on 30. President of Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.